The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
All right. Turn your Bibles to Luke this evening. We continue our study on the book of Luke. And we are still in chapter 2, and we will read a couple of verses here this evening. Luke chapter 2, verses 39 and 40. If you're able to stand as a respect to the Word of God, we'll read these verses together as a church body. And Luke chapter 2, verses 39 and 40. Say amen if you're there. All right, let's read together. Church, verse number 39, go. And to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That is the word of the Lord for us this evening. And in these two verses, we observe, number one, the godly characteristics of the child's parents. And then, number two, we see the summary statement of the childhood age of Jesus the Nazarene. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Number one, we see the godly characteristics of parents in verse 39. The Bible tells us that when they had performed all things. Now, what were these things? Do you recall the things that they had performed? Well, we know that they did at least three things and that they had performed here. First, that is the circumcision of the male child. Secondly, we see that they had performed the purification of the mother for 40 days. And thirdly, the offering of a sacrifice unto the Lord at the presentation of the firstborn. We see all of that in the previous verses here. And then we see that the doctor records that they performed all things according to what? According to the law of the Lord. This goes without saying that Joseph and Mary performed all these things in compliance to the teachings of the scripture. So let's review. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 17. Put a finger there or put a bookmark there in Luke chapter 2. And I want you to go with me to Genesis and see the first thing that they performed that is according to the law of God. Genesis chapter 17. And I'm going to read beginning in verse 9. Genesis 17, verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy what? Seed after thee in their generations. And what is that, God? This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man, child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. All right, so this is the first performance of the parents in accordance to the law of God. Now I want you to turn to Leviticus chapter 12. Leviticus chapter 12. Here we see another law that they perfectly obeyed and performed in Leviticus chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation. For her infirmity shall she be unclean. So here we see, if a woman is pregnant and conceived of a male child, she is to be unclean 7 days. And then, look at verse number 3. And in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. So this is at the birth of the male child, the mother is unclean for this long. And then let's continue looking at verse number 4. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, that is, a holy thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. So we have here, how many days, class? 33 plus 7. That is a total of 40 days from the day of her delivery, she shall be considered unclean. And so this we know that Mary did, because they waited until the 41st day upon showing up in the temple. All right, now look at verse number 6 of that same text, Leviticus 12:6. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering. Did they do that? Well, let's continue. They didn't bring a lamb. What did they do? Well, look at, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest. Verse number seven, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath borne a male or a female. And then verse number 8, and if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Now, did Mary and Joseph do all of that? Yes, they did. And so, by the way, this indicates to us 2 details about Joseph and Mary. 1, they were poor. Why? Because they couldn't afford a lamb. And so they brought the alternative of that here. And we see that in Luke chapter 2, verse number 39. And this is in keeping with the inspired apostle who wrote this: for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. That's in 2 Corinthians 8, 9. What this also indicates to us is that the wise men had not come to visit and worship the baby Jesus yet. What do you say to that, Pastor Christian? Well, because if they had come and visited the Holy Family already, then they would have had the ability to trade some of the gifts with a lamb offering. All right, so this just blows into smithereens our commercial picture of the Nativity, right? Because that happened later on. In fact, we'll find out later that that happened when Jesus was already about a year and a half years old. Okay? Now, in light of our sessions of the family conference, Joseph and Mary were the consummate parents for one who was and is the Son of God. Joseph, as the adoptive father, was a righteous man. The Apostle Matthew records of him as being a just man. And it is to this kind of man whom the psalmist writes, "Unto the just man, unto the upright, there ariseth light in the darkness. Unto the upright, God is gracious and full of compassion and righteous." Mary, as the mother, was also a righteous woman herself. I want you to go back to Luke, where your bookmark or finger is, Luke, and I want you to look at chapter 1, verse 47. Luke 1, 47. What do we have here? This is Mary, and she is singing unto the Lord, magnifying the Lord in her song. Verse number 47, she says this, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Her righteousness is not her own. It was imputed to her by God, her Savior. Five different times in the book of Luke, and specifically in chapter 2, we are told of these parents' uprightness and godliness. We are told five times here of their godly character by their obedience to the law of God. Look at verse number 22 of chapter 2, Luke 2, 22. "And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished," how many days is that, class? That's 40 days. "They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." And then verse 23, "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." Verse 24, "And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." And jump to verse 27. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple," and this is talking about Simeon, "and when the parents," here we see again, the parents are being presented here, being brought to fore that they were in the temple, bringing in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. And then verse number 39, the fifth instance, where we're told that these parents were godly. Why? Because verse number 39 says, "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth." Do you get the idea here that Dr. Luke is telling us something good about these parents? No? You don't? Oh, yes. Thank you. So these were godly parents. And why are they godly? Because they obeyed the law of the Lord. They obeyed the law of the Lord. Somebody said this, quote, "Genuine righteousness, the righteousness that comes from God by saving faith, inevitably manifests itself in the big O word, obedience. Since faith without works is dead. Obedience is also the mark of true love for God. The godly characteristics of parents then are summarized by these words: love for God and obedience to God. Love for God and obedience to God. Hey parents, do you love God? Hey parents, do you obey God? Well, Pastor Christian, I'm not a parent anymore. Well, I'm not a parent ever. Hey, non-parent, do you love God? Hey, non-parent, do you obey God? These are the marks of a godly parent or non-parent. I want us to look at John chapter 14. I want to show you something here. John chapter 14. Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples? John 14. And if you're following our Bible reading plan this year, we are in this section this month. John chapter 14. I want us to look at verse 15. What does it say? If ye love me, keep my commandments. Interestingly, we observe Jesus repeating this statement like a parent repeats an instruction to their child. Look at verse 21. What does that say? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And verse number 23, look at that. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. Now, it is one thing to say one thing, to say something one time or two times, but we see here it is totally another thing when somebody says to you something three times in a row in just one chapter. You think that Christ is trying to do something here? They use this device of repetition, and this is a literary device that the rabbis used, and he used it himself to remind us of what? If you love me, keep my commandments. So these parents were godly because it showed in their love for God, and it showed in their obedience towards the Scripture. Number two, we see in this verse, look at Luke chapter 2 to our text this evening. Verse number 40, we see the summary statement of the childhood age of Jesus Christ. In verse number 40, simply, the beloved physician records for us that in his growth, first he waxed strong in spirit, and secondly, he became filled with wisdom, and thirdly, that the grace of God was upon him. Now, again, I want to reiterate about Luke what his writing here are very simple words, which are understandable and very clear. Okay? Now, if you're not aware already, I want to make you aware that there are legends out there in the world of the infancy and toddlerhood of Jesus Christ. And they are just that. They are just legends. For example, from the infancy gospel of one called Thomas, the Gospel of Thomas. Quote, it says this about Jesus Christ. This child Jesus, when 5 years old, was playing in the ford of a mountain stream, and he collected the flowing waters into pools and made them clear immediately, and by a word alone, he made them obey him. And having made some soft clay, he fashioned out of it 12 sparrows. And it was the Sabbath when he did these things. And there were also many other children playing with him. And a certain Jew, seeing what Jesus was doing, playing on the Sabbath, went off immediately and said to his father Joseph, "Behold, thy son is at the stream and has taken clay and made of it 12 birds and has profaned the Sabbath." And Joseph, coming to the place and seeing, cried out to him, saying, "Wherefore doest thou on the Sabbath? What it is that you do is not lawful." And Jesus clapped his hands and cried out to the sparrows and said to them, "Off you go." And the sparrows flew and went off crying. And the Jews, seeing this, were amazed and went away and reported to their chief men what they had seen Jesus doing. End quote. Now, there are other stories that purport that the toddler Jesus killed another toddler who bumped into him, and then striking blind the toddler's mom and dad for complaining to Mary and Joseph about him. And like I said, these are just legends. What we have here in our scripture, inspired words of God, Dr. Luke records for us very simply that what? That Jesus grew up. How many of you don't understand that? He just simply grew up. Well, the scripture is largely silent about the toddlerhood and the boyhood of Jesus of Nazareth. But Dr. Luke does say here that the child grew, that is, in the normal sense, like anybody, any boy or girl in the world who grew normally. There was nothing spectacular about his growth. There was nothing extraordinary, except, of course, that he did not sin. That he did not sin. And the Apostle John says this, and we read this verse this morning, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Can you imagine Mary talking to the toddler, "Yeshua, take out the trash." "Yes, ma'am. I'd be glad to. Right away. Without delay. Always with a good attitude. Always with a good attitude." I mean, can you imagine the toddlers with whom he played? This boy was always happy. This boy was always good. This boy was just the perfect boy. And they were right to think that. Why? Because he did no sin. And yet he grew up like a normal boy, a normal girl. We have these words, "wax strong," in our text. These two words describe one Greek word, "krata aiuo," which has the denotation that he grew strong with a natural progression in the growth process of his spirit. And then we have the next words, "filled with wisdom." filled with wisdom, which indicate to us that he did not possess all of that knowledge and understanding and wisdom in his babyhood. Okay? He didn't have that in his toddlerhood. But he became increasingly filled, and now he is full of this wisdom. He increased in wisdom until his mind was filled to the fullest of the profound wisdom of God. And so, at this point, we can say that his entire person, and a person is a person is composed of what? You have the physical aspect, and then the spiritual aspect. That's the entire person, okay? That he showed a normal growth process where every normal human being goes through his entire person. That is the material aspect and the immaterial aspects. That's your intellect, your emotions, and will. All of that, the entire person of Jesus Christ underwent the normal process of growth. The Apostle Paul very succinctly described this process in Philippians 2:7. He says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Philippians 2:7. Here's another hint to the growth of Jesus' knowledge and wisdom. I want you to look at Hebrews 5:8. Hebrews 5:8. The writer of the book of Hebrews says this, though he were a son, and that's written in capital S, indicating to us that he is of the same nature as the Father, which is to say that he is God, though he were a God, a son, in the same nature of God, yet what? What's the next word? Learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. All right? And so look at every stage of his growth, the Bible teaches us that he faced the full, unabated onslaught of temptation so that he was, look at verse chapter 4 of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in what? All points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. So a question for you. It's not a trick question, all right? It does tell me, if you were listening to me this morning, though. To what nature of Jesus, then, is Dr. Luke writing about? The divine nature of Jesus or the human nature of Jesus? What's that? The human nature of Jesus, of course. Why? Because God needs no growing up. He knows everything. He sees everything. He has all power in the universe. God needs no growing up. And I like how Isaiah put it. He put it this way. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? Or who instructed him? And taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding. And what is the answer, class? Of course, nobody. Why? Because God does not need any growing up. He knows everything already. He knows all the possibilities already. He knows all of that. Therefore, to whom or to what Dr. Luke is writing about is obviously the human nature of Jesus Christ. Not only was Jesus filled with the wisdom of God, but in our text, go back over there, Luke chapter 2, verse 40. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the what? The grace of God was upon him. The Apostle John describes him as full of grace. Now, what is this grace talking about? Is this the saving grace of God upon Jesus Christ? Well, of course not, because Jesus did not need any saving, for he did no sin. This grace talks about favor. Many times in the scripture we see the dove over Jesus Christ and the voice coming from heaven saying what? This is my beloved Son, with whom I am very well pleased. This is the favor of God upon Jesus Christ. This is what this grace is all about. It is not the grace that saves. It is not the redeeming grace which you and I receive. But this is the favor deserved and the giver of grace as favor undeserved. He was both the recipient of grace as favor deserved and the giver of grace as favor undeserved. For application this evening, number one, parents, how are you doing? Are you a godly parent? In that you show the love of God through your life. Is it transparent in your life, parents, that you love God? How is that? How do you show? In your obedience to the Word of God. Number two, every single one of us here can learn a lesson from the growth process of Jesus Christ. How's that? How so, Pastor Christian? Are you increasing in your knowledge of God? Do you know more today than yesterday? Do you know more about God this year than last year? Are you increasing in your wisdom and knowledge of God, of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit, the triune God who loved you from before the foundations of the world? Or is your knowledge of God kind of stagnant? Is your knowledge of the Scripture just kind of, Are you maturing in your knowledge of the Word of God? I hope that you would take these applications and think upon it and reflect on it and ask the Lord to help you wherever He is convicting you this evening. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven,